Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, March the 25th. You are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, you. How are you?
How are you? I'm very, very, very well. I've just got through my superior show, 11 to 12, Scott and Quoth.
You did struggle your way through it, didn't you?
I did, but I had a bit of gate crashing from you.
Yeah.
Waving of arms and things.
Pressing the right buttons.
Do you know why I'm doing this noise?
Are you to annoy me?
No. I've got you a lovely present, Paul Andrews.
Have you? Oh, I've got a present for you too.
Yeah, but mine's lovely.
Is it?
Yeah.
Go on then.
It's something for you to chew on.
Yeah.
Open it up, and it's slimming.
Yeah.
And it's what you like. It's something
it's a
you like.
It's a twig.
It's not a twig.
It's a twig.
It's not just any twig.
It's a twig, listener, isn't it?
It's not just any twig.
Is that licorice?
It's a licorice stick. A proper, raw, gorgeous, real one. And you chew it like the old men. You sit there on your veranda.
Right.
And chew it. And there's no calories, and it's good for you.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thank you. It's good. Lovely. Actually, I'm just savouring the licorice-y taste.
Yeah, see?
It's
Have you never had a licorice?
I have, actually. I have, yes.
Oh, see, yeah. I can't ever surprise him, listener.
No, but that is a surprise, because I didn't expect you to turn up with a twig for me to suck. Based on the fact that somebody, I gave, for those listeners that care about such things, I gave the budget speech at the Seven Oaks Chamber of Commerce
and
last
it was a very
Thursday.
Good one, apparently.
Yeah, well, whatever. Anyway, at the end of it, a fellow walked up to me from Breakfast Friends. A fellow walked up to me in Breakfast Friends and said, I've got a gift for Jules. Would you pass it on to her on the show?
Oh.
And he gave it to me, and I'm going to give you the gift.
Is it chocolate?
I'll say no more. Read an email while I get it.
Okay. You rummage, and I'll read an email. Right, this is from the Kent Invicta Chamber. As a networking breakfast with business, including a full English, it's 8 to 9.30. And they are on Thursday the 10th of April. It's at Maidstone Museum in Maidstone. Thursday the 22nd of April, it's Best Western Manor Hotel in Gravesend. And Thursday the 1st of May, it's at Salomon's in Tunbridge Wells. Do I say Salomon's right?
You said Salomon's. It is Salomon's, yeah.
Salomon's. Also, in May, there's one at Buckmore Park. That's on the 23rd of May. And that includes karting. Buckmore Park down there in Rochester, so that sounds lovely. And there's also another one, 29th of May, a Thursday, which is at Dartford Football Club. Dartford, what do you say to that? Come on, you Dartfords. Have they got one of those? Rattle. What do they
Come
sing?
On, you Dartford. Yeah, go for it, Jules.
What are they called, the Dartford?
Darts.
Are they? Come on, you Darts.
Exactly, that's better.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll bring a rattle in next week. Now, there is a phone number. If you want to book, or you can go on the www.kentinvictachamber.co.uk/events, and the number is 01233 503 838, and that's for especially for the Come On You Darts.
There you go. There's your present from Sam at
now, what
Breakfast
is it?
Friends.
This is the
I'm sorry.
Sam.
He just gave it to me. I have no idea what this is about.
Oh, it's a bit rude.
It's very
Paul
rude.
Andrews. It's very rude. Okay, listener. So this is this is a hand sanitizer. Thank you, Sam. I don't know what you think I get up to, but it says maybe you touched your genitals on it, and it's a hand sanitizer. Yes. Well, I might pass this on to someone
that does that on a regular basis.
Because is touching your genitals that bad?
I think we'll leave that conversation completely
more,
there now.
I think it's more doorknobs and things that are worse. Because, you know, when I go to the loo, what about you? I wash my hands.
This is entirely why he did this. This is entirely why he did this, because he knew that he'd get a 10-minute rant about such things
but
from
Paul
you
Andrews,
out of this.
Yeah. When you go to the lavatory.
No, see, exactly. This is exactly why he did it, to deflect the entire show into toilet humour based on all the silly things you're going to tell me.
I always put a little piece of loo paper down
I don't
on
know.
The seat.
To be quite frank, I don't want to
and
know.
And as you go to sit down, there's a waft of air. And then the whole thing blows in, so you have to start all over again. See, I'm right here, because they're nodding. My guests are nodding.
I don't know.
And then when you wash your hands, you don't want to touch the knob of the door, Paul, because then everybody else who hasn't washed their hands has touched it with their dirty, grubby mitts.
But now you've got some stuff to spray on it. So why don't you go and spray the toilet door while we carry on with the decorum of this show?
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm sure I'll use it. I'll keep it in the...
I'm sure you will. It'll become a talking point without any shadow of a doubt. I've had a tweet.
Have you?
Yes, from Jacqueline Offen. And Jacqueline runs JJ Systems. And she says, "Hiya, Paul. Could we have a Business Bunker shout out, please, for JJ Systems?" That's their Twitter handle, at JJ Systems. And they provide managed IT services across Kent and the southeast of England. And she says, "I look forward to seeing you guys soon." And we look forward to seeing you too. Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, I'm just tweeting to someone.
Are you? Well, don't you worry about the show. You carry on doing your social stuff.
27th of March, 2014. It's not my show. It's all these people listening to Business Bunker tweeting. Mm-hmm. A date for your diary. Now, this is the 27th of March, as I said, and it's for the second Kent Women in Business Awards. It's a black tie gala, and it's at the Great Danes Hotel, Hollingbourne. Good job I'm reading this, because I know where to go. There's a fun element to the evening, too. There's a video diary room for you to give your business a cheeky plug, or show your true colours as a wannabe actor. Now, this evening is a celebration of success, where you will meet people from all over this vibrant county. You can still get tickets, last-minute tickets if you'd like a table. You can email ask@kwibawards.co.uk, so the Kent Women in Business Association, awards.
Quib
Awards, thank you. That's a great one. I will be there, Paul Andrews.
I know you will.
And I'm up for an award. Thank you for nominating me, whoever did.
I'll be there too.
And you'll be there. Which table are you on? You're not on my table, are you?
I have no idea what table I'm on.
You're not on mine. I think I'm with Lisa.
I'm doing Lisa one Settle. Of the speeches and the presentations.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are you wearing?
What am I wearing?
A black tie, isn't it?
Yeah. Guess what I'm wearing then?
Well, we should be colour coordinated.
Guess what
Business
I'm wearing?
Bunker. Orange.
I always do that. I get a black tie invitation, so I wear orange. Yeah, I go as a Shaolin monk.
You could. Actually, that does suit you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, what you could do is you could have a ginger waistcoat, couldn't you?
Could I?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ginger Business Bunker.
That's very kind of you.
Waistcoat.
I was going to wear my Pooh Bear waistcoat.
No, that's not. That's your Was it that I always say you look like when you wear the scarf and things?
Rupert.
Yeah, Rupert Bear. Have you got a Pooh Bear one as well?
I've got a Pooh Bear one as well. I have a whole range of bears.
Gosh.
Hmm. Are you impressed?
Sounds a little bear to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's a necessity. It's a bear necessity. Oh, dear.
Oh.
We've had some tweets from Nigel Whitaker of Pure B2B, Graham Clues, and Apprentice for Life. Two on the Twitter. So thank you for tweeting in and thank you for listening. We much appreciate it. Robert Brown has said, "Hi, Vanilla Web, listening to the Business Bunker Show. Marketing provided the modern way. One day a month or one day a week. Give your business an affordable, flexible marketing manager. And you can find out more about that by following Robert on the Twitter at brandbrown.co.uk. So that will be his website as well, which is brandbrown.co.uk. So do check that out.
Where's he based? Do we know?
Sevenoaks.
All right. Mm-hmm. AK Pet Services is on the Twitter saying...
you're reading from the top of the list again.
Listening in to...
She does this every week, listener.
To the lovely
she
Paul.
She reads from the top of the list while I'm reading from the bottom.
Listening in to the lovely Paul and the even more lovely Jules.
And she makes the tweets up as she goes along.
Helping Kent Business. I'm just being a bit off-put, actually, by this maybe you touch your genitals in front of me.
Just
it's very off-putting.
Just move past it. Just move right past it. You Thank see, you, Simon. He's
I just
removed
keep seeing
it.
Genitals
yeah.
in
yeah,
front
yeah,
of me.
Yeah, and yeah. Yes. Move on. Move on.
I think he's a bit of a stirrer, that
Sam.
Breakfast
yeah.
person.
Well, he did make it known that he first saw me hitting a golf ball into the car park at the Tudor Park from the ninth tee, which was a bit sad, seeing as he was my golf teacher at the time. But never mind.
Oh, he's a golf thing as well, is he?
He's a golf thing. Yeah, that's a very good description of Sam. Tutor. He's a golf thing.
We've had a new follower. I don't know if you've had a new follower, but I have. It's at Medway Travel.
Right.
And they're looking to optimise your travel experience and budget. Talk to us about your business travel.
There you go.
There There you go.
I want to tell you about this. Chris Lee, who I bumped into the other day.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Photographer from Canterbury. Yeah. He asked me to mention this. He has a one-day course in digital photography where you can learn the basics of understanding camera skills, how cameras and lenses work, and what you need to know to take a good picture. Also, how to use the correct software to make your images even better. It's only £99 for the workshop, and that's a full day from 9:30 until 4:30, and that includes lunch. And it's happening on Saturday, the 12th of April. So places are limited to a maximum of 12 to ensure you get quality time. And the venue is the Anne Robertson Centre, which is at 55 London Road, Canterbury. And if you'd like to book on that, you can email Chris at studio@chrisleephoto.com. That's studio@chrisleephoto.com. Or you can call him on Canterbury 01227 464 207. And as always, with everything you hear on the Business Bunker Show, all these contact details will be on the website later on today under today's show, which is show number 166. Jules.
Yeah, I am listening, but I was just tweeting.
That's
again.
Nice of you.
Well, you know what I'm doing? I'm ordering my Prosecco delivery from Riverford, Kent.
Well, you would really, wouldn't you?
Kent Women in Business. So yeah, I mean, like to have a couple of crates on my way in.
I was going to say, yeah, you need breakfast, don't you?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Along with my organic vegetables, I get a little delivery of organic Prosecco. There's a new way of networking which has arrived in Canterbury. It's Thursday, the 27th of March, 7 a.m, and it's at the Best Western Abbots Barton. The ABC Network is one of the fastest growing network groups in Kent, with an average 40 to 50 business owners at each meeting. No joining fee. All you pay is £14 for the cost of the meeting, and this includes breakfast. So that's abcnetworks.co.uk. And you can also go to the website, which is www.abcnetworks.co.uk. That's 27th, the same day actually is the Kent Women in Business Awards.
Absolutely, it all happens around here, doesn't it?
Which I'm up for a nomination.
It's a really busy week this week. There's loads of things happening. I was proud to be asked to judge the Ashford and Weald area Crofts, Ashford and Weald area young enterprise schools competition last night at Bethany School. It was fabulous.
Was that last night?
Last night it was indeed. Five finalists, absolutely brilliant. Massive, massive well done to Iris Company from Bethany School, who were the overall winners. Fabulous. They actually had a manufacturing business, and they actually manufactured products, and they actually sold them, and they actually made a profit.
How old are these guys?
They're year 11, so they would be, 16, 17.
Yeah. Amazing.
And
inspiring.
Fabulous. And the product they made was absolutely wonderful.
What was it?
It was dead clever. They went to a charity shop and they found loads of old scratched vinyl records.
Yeah.
And they turned them into wall clocks.
That is a really, really good idea.
So they put a clock mechanism in the centre of it. But a beautiful thing was, and they really did think this through, is when you were looking at the products they made, they picked all the really good records. So they had like Queen, the Beatles and stuff like that. And Michael Jackson records with clocks on. It was absolutely fabulous. I was blown away. Brilliant
really
stuff.
Clever, because they're tapping into the whole vintage thing as well, aren't they?
Vintage, recycling, upcycling, eco-friendly. It ticked so many boxes that it was dead clever.
Could you buy a clock?
Did I buy one?
Could you?
Yes, they had. They were selling them £15 a pop.
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And I mean, that's not to denigrate all the other four finalists who had equally good products and services, but the Iris Company, Bethany School, well done.
Excellent.
Fabulous.
Well, you've been talking a lot recently at various things, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Do you ever get any sleep?
No. I've got lots to talk about this week as well, for some strange reason. A really busy week.
Good.
There's a day's one-to-one Sage 50 training, first-class Sage one-to-one training for you, your staff or clients at a reduced rate of a measly £295 plus VAT for the day. During the day, you will learn how to use the customer, supplier, banking, company and financial modules, and by the end of the session, you will know how to set up your customers and suppliers, post supplier invoices, raise sales invoices, allocate supplier payments and customer receipts, post bank payments and receipts and reconcile the bank as well as produce month-end reports. That's pretty comprehensive. The session is designed to give you a basic overview of how to use Sage, but if you require more in-depth and advanced training, you could benefit from our three-day course. For further details, please visit our website, which is caneandbeer.com. That's C-A-I-N-A-N-D-B-E-E-R, caneandbeer.com, and go to our services, Sage Training, or you can email them info@caneandbeer.co.uk. All those links are already on the Kent Business Radio website, so if you want to find out more, go to the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website, find the link for Cane and Beer, and check it out. Go on, then.
Well, Be Fast Friends. Now, this is Sam, isn't it? He's not mentioning genitals, but he is saying, he's being sensible. I love that. He leads me astray, and then he's all sensible.
And you fall for it, and now you're on a roll. No, go on, just go on.
Seven Oaks Breakfast, he's saying, is the 28th. I need to put my glasses on. I'm having to
that
squint.
Would help.
And it's Neil Robinson Blaxall, 35 years being a horologist. What's a horologist?
That's a clock maker,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was a horologist.
Isn't that funny how that came together?
Bizarre. So that must mean he's listening.
Yeah, of course.
So it's the 28th of March with my glasses on, and it's Neil Robinson Blaxall, 35 years being a horologist, and it's at breakfastfriends.co.uk at the Cote Brasserie. He makes no mention of door handles in the toilets there or whether you'd need your genital touching gel at that gym.
I've had enough of listening to you.
This is Cars.
I'm going to play Cars.
Yeah.
Who's going to drive you home? Who's going to take you away? Really.
Thursday night, I hope someone will drive me home.
Well, I was kind of hoping someone would take you away now.
I was wondering you'd drive me home.
Nah.
Home.
You've got no chance.
Who's going to tell you when it's too late? Who's gonna tell you things aren't so great? You can't go on thinking nothing's wrong. What about who's gonna drive you home tonight? Who's gonna pick you up when you fall? Who's gonna hang it up when you call? Who's gonna pay attention to your dreams? Nothing's wrong. Who's gonna drive you home tonight?
shops in Kent.com.
Need temporary employment? Call Temp Network on 01892 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back. A bit of Cars There with Drive. You're listening to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday, the 25th of March, with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jules Serkin. But it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show our first guest of today, Jackie Ward. Jackie is the Regional Growth Fund Manager for Kent County Council. Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Hi, listeners.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome you back on the show, Jackie. Why don't you tell our listener a little bit about you and what you do at KCC and a bit about the Growth Fund and the kind of things that KCC are doing to encourage business in the county?
Yeah, certainly, Paul. As you just said, it's about encouraging businesses and SMEs across Kent and East Sussex to access finance. Kent County Council, with partners and district partners, business support organisations, a number of years ago, asked businesses, what do they want? What's the difficulties of helping your business grow? Mm. What they came up with was requests for access to finance.
Yep.
So Kent County Council, with partners, applied for the Regional Growth Fund. Back then, it was applying for funds for the East Kent area only,
right,
and were awarded $35 million to get money out there to businesses.
Mm.
We have a number of products, and hopefully I'll tell you a little bit more about them,
sure,
for North Kent and for West Kent. But basically, it is access to finance, 0% interest, helping businesses grow, employ more staff, making them and helping them to become more profitable. But also, it is about them putting some investment in as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can talk about all those things, and I'm happy to do that because they're great schemes, as you say. One of the things that businesses have struggled with is raising money. And the banks notoriously don't lend anyway, unless you don't need the money. Oh, controversial there. Tell us a little bit about the East Kent Growth Fund so far. How long has that been in operation? Is, if I'm right, about 18 months now, is it?
Yeah, it's approximately that. Actually, 2 years.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
April 2012.
Right.
We launched the Expansion East Kent programme. That's the $35 million out there from BIS, Regional Growth Fund. And it was very much, come one, come all, tell us what your business needs are.
Mm.
We very much have an application process. As many listeners, at the end of the day, it is taxpayers' money we are offering out to businesses. So it's about the due diligence of that business.
Mm.
The fund, say, has been running for 2 years. We're just topping the $20 million that we've allocated and committed to businesses.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you about that if you knew the numbers. So there's $20 million of the $35 has been allocated.
Has been allocated, creating jobs, helping businesses to grow and to expand.
Mm.
And we've got another 2 years to actually put that other $15 million. It's approximately those figures.
Right.
$15 million out there to the businesses.
Fabulous. I mean, and East Kent really has taken off in the last couple of years as well, hasn't it? There's loads of things happening over there, not least centred around Discovery Park, which is the old Pfizer location.
Yes, definitely. And the closure of Pfizer coming out of Discovery Park as it is now, and was very much the catalyst of why the funding went, and actually we were awarded funding from the central government. Mm. But it has, and we have many of the spin-offs from Pfizer's ex-employers that have come to us, started up their own business and applied for funding. And also we're constantly working with both the development team down there in Discovery Park, the businesses themselves, and how we can attract more life science businesses to that park.
Fabulous. Can you just, I know it's quite a complicated process. Well, it's not that complicated, but can you just give us an overview of what people need to do in order to access that fund?
Yeah, of course. There is a two-page short, what we think is a pre-application.
Mm.
That's just tell us a little bit about what you want, why you want it, how much you want, and how many jobs you're going to create.
Mm.
We then lead you into reasoning why we would not actually be able to offer you funding, just with that little bit of information, or we lead you into full application.
Right.
Well, I really would stress to listeners what we always say with the full application: your business plan, plan is your catalyst of what you want, and actually that's what you, where you should start your business plan, what you want, what you actually, how you're going to achieve your forecast, etc., and then complete the form. Because we really are about helping businesses. We've tried as much as we can to reduce the paperwork as far as we can go. We are governed by central government.
But as you said quite rightly in your opening remarks, this is taxpayers' money, and you've got to be sensible with it. You can't just throw it willy-nilly at anything. So no, I think people have to understand that you've got to have some due diligence on all of this, otherwise, you know, you might just as well go out and hand out money in the street. Oh, that's a good idea. No. No, absolutely. And can you give us an overview of some of the businesses off the top of your head that have benefited from this so far?
Yes, from Expansion East Kent, we've very much got a wide diversity of businesses, from the small cafes in Margate. We've got an actual bistro opening in Canterbury. Right. We've gone to larger people like we're saying Discovery Park, and companies that have come forward that really are about manufacturing or life sciences and discovering actual things. On our website, on the KCC, we have all the case studies of it's over 50 plus companies that have come forward and received funding.
Excellent.
Yeah. There is, if anybody's interested, there is a link on the Kent Business Radio website directly to the pages that Jackie just referred to on the KCC website. So do have a look.
Jackie, did you have S&T chocolates, Sylvia and Terry chocolates, supplying for something recently? Do you know? Or don't you know offhand?
I don't think I have a feeling.
I have a feeling that they are looking for help. And are we able to know what the bistro is that's opening in Canterbury? Do you know?
Your burritos.
Burritos?
Yes.
Oh, very hip.
Yes, they're already opened. What we try to do is very much that I will talk about companies that have received funding and are out there in the public domain. Anything that's going through the process, I do not tend to give that information out.
In case.
But one we can talk about very openly is Fudge Kitchen. They've received funding. They've got a little shop in Canterbury. And they also opened on the Alsham Industrial Estate and now doing the actual manufacturing of the fudge on the estate.
Very inspiring story, Fudge Kitchen, because she did a lovely talk at the Taste of Kent Awards last Thursday that I was at for Scoff and Quaff, and very, very inspiring. She works very, very hard, and the flavours are great.
They are brilliant. Yes, they are.
Fabulous. So that's the East Kent Expansion Fund that primarily covers the area from Canterbury, Thanet, right round to Dover. Is that right?
Shetway and Dover.
Shetway and Dover, yeah.
That's correct.
Okay. So can you tell us a little bit more about some of the other schemes that KCC and their partners are running around the county, because you've got two or three other schemes that cover different areas, haven't you?
Yes, we have. And on the next show, on the 8th of April, we've got one of the Expansion East Kent companies coming forward and going to give you a view. Listeners, a view of what the application process was like, so it's not me selling it. We have in the North Kent area and Thurrock, we have something called the Tiger Fund. And there is an event tomorrow which is showcasing the 20 plus successful companies up at Dartford Football Club. It's a breakfast.
Come on, you darts. Yeah, go on.
It's a breakfast event, so that's sort of 8 o'clock in the morning. Please, if any viewers want to find out more about Tiger, come and speak to some of the companies that have gone forward. We've got a number that are manufacturing companies, and Tiger area covers Medway, Swell, Faversham, obviously comes into to Swell, Dartford, Gravesham and Thurrock.
Fabulous. And did you say that was tomorrow?
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning, Dartford Football Club.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Get along there, meet some of the people from the Tiger Fund. Yeah, good. What else you got going on?
Okay, the North Kent and the Thurrock area, that's a £20 million pot of money that's out there for businesses. That's only out there till March 2015.
Okay.
So we're very keen to encourage businesses to come forward.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you there, just so I've got it straight in my own mind. The Tiger Fund and the East Kent Expansion Fund, are they, are the basis on which they're allocated similar, the same?
They're slightly different.
Right.
North Kent, as I said, Expansion East Kent is come one, come all. We have priority areas we're looking at, like life sciences, as we said. But basically, we want all companies to come forward. North Kent, we've focused it a little bit more because of the actual strategic plans that are in place to actually take forward the North Kent area and Thurrock.
Right.
So we're looking for ICT, we're looking for manufacturing, we're looking for a variety of leisure and tourism. We've just included ports and logistics as well. So it's slightly a bit more focused.
Right.
But it's all in the same vein.
Right.
Tiger's very much about R&D as well, if people want funding to help with their R&D, not just their actual manufacturing. So it's the research part of it.
Hmm.
And also within the Tiger Fund, we've got three separate products. So it is about come and visit the website, find out a little bit more. We've got a take you through on the website as a business what you're looking for, and we've got staff, we've got business support organisations helping us get the message out to businesses.
Fantastic. Can I just ask, feel free to slap me if I get this wrong. My understanding is it's interest-free match funding?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. There is a variety of match funding requirements ranging from a 50-50 or a 70-30. It very much depends on which area you're in.
Right.
So it's best to find out more than me giving a general, but
match
funding.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, but the crucial thing is it's unsecured interest-free loans.
Yeah, unsecured in the majority of cases. And I would do a plug here for the banks, because the banks very much are in partnership with us here.
Yeah.
And some of the match funding obviously does come from banks, whether it's bank loan or reserves in a company. So banks have been our friends, if you like, have helped us work up this to get some funding out there for businesses.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the reality is, of bank lending is we've just been through one of the worst banking recessions of all time, and they got their heads kicked in for their risk management, and now they avoiding risk, and everybody goes, why are you doing that? Well, because we just got our heads kicked in, basically. So you're absolutely right. I don't want to throw a curveball at you, but I've just sort of mentioned it. I'm going to anyway. Because recently, dear old George announced his plans for one of the first new towns in the United Kingdom for a long time at Ebbsfleet, which is
exciting.
Interesting. Obviously, that's a very, very early stage of discussion at the moment, and I'm sure KCC have got something to say about that in there. I just wondered if you'd heard anything about that at all, or whether it's something you could comment on. Probably isn't.
A curveball going back the other way, no comment.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not surprised.
I think that's a boomerang.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised. I raised it while we were talking about the area.
Very exciting, though. Exciting.
Possibly, until you see what the plans are and how you're going to do it. I mean, there's all kinds of things.
As long as they open some A&Es and some schools.
Yeah, well, it's always about infrastructure, isn't it? You can build hundreds of houses, but you need all the infrastructure that goes around it. And that's what costs the money, is roads, schools and hospitals and doctors and da-da-da-da-da and everything else as well. Yeah.
Well, they've got a station, so they've got they need to put a town around the station.
Exactly, yeah. And you can see why they've looked at an area like that as well. You know, it makes sense, because you can see...
It's not rocket science, is it?
No, you can see Canary Wharf and the Isle of Dogs by standing there and looking at it. So I guess, you know, with all the talk that we've had about property prices in London and demand for property in London, London's got to grow. Yeah. And that's a natural outward expansion.
Mm.
And as well as Simon quite rightly points out, having the high-speed train station at Ebbsfleet, at some point, if they ever do build this, you'll probably find there'll be ferries as well crossing the river there.
Across the Mersey.
Another bridge. Yeah, another bridge. Yeah, there's a big plan to put a second Dartford crossing in.
I really don't know why they don't use the river, as you know, they should. I mean, it's just so underutilised.
Yeah. Cool. There's a couple of other schemes you've got going on around Kent. We have discussed one of them on a show recently, but let's just cover that again just for the sake of it, just for completeness, Jackie.
Yeah, OK. I'll just finish off with the Escalate, which is, again, it's Regional Growth Fund money. That's a pot of money for West Kent area, but also some of the East Sussex districts as well.
Right.
So we launched that on the 6th of December,
right.
And we are looking for putting some of our companies through, and we've got a very strong pipeline for that. So any companies in West Kent area or East Sussex, please come forward. We're working with business support organisations to help you put the application together. And we have got our first panel actually on the 31st of March. So we at the moment we've got great coverage across nearly all of Kent, and added to the Escalate and the other programmes I've just mentioned, we've got the Marsh Million, which hopefully you at the last couple of companies came along and spoke to you about the
funding. Yes, they did indeed. Domination Paintball, and some other recipients.
And some recipients on site that actually we've put another three through. A Marsh Million is about actually getting to those micro businesses in the Marsh area that want a little bit of funding, and only a little bit of funding. There's still an element of match funding there, but it can be an 80% funding from us and 20 from the business. So it's getting at those micro businesses that want to just to expand a little bit more, take people on.
That's really important, especially in an area like this on the Marsh, where there are so many micro businesses, and they don't need huge amounts of money to make a big difference to them. They don't need millions, they only need a few grand, and it can make all the difference to their business taking off and hiring more people and getting the Marsh growing again, which is something we need.
Yeah, and I think one of our challenges is getting to those micro businesses. We always knew they were under the radar. How do we get the message out? At the moment, we're working up a big campaign for Marsh Million Business Week.
Right.
So, and I know, Paul, we've had a chat about it.
Absolutely.
It's really in its initial stages at the moment, but we're trying to do it for around about the first week in June. So hopefully, listeners, you'll hear a bit more about that.
Absolutely. We will certainly be mentioning it and helping where we can and promoting and being part of that, because it is important. For those of you listeners that don't know, the radio station here is actually based on the Marsh, so we're one of those little micro businesses that are out here, and it's important to us too that you know, business grows around here, because it's a lovely area, but it needs jobs. And it needs jobs urgently.
Jobs and transport, perhaps.
Yeah.
Because we're not that far from Ashford.
No, we're not 8 miles. But like a lot of places, you know, public transport isn't brilliant these days. There's, you know, it's not on mainline railway stations and things
but
like that.
It's a thing all around Kent, because I was trying to get my mum to Tunbridge Wells from Canterbury. We live in near Canterbury in Whitstable. And there's not a train or a bus that she can go from Canterbury to Tunbridge Wells.
Directly?
Bexley. She had to catch about three.
Yeah.
And she's in her 80s.
Mm.
And same with Bexley Heath. She has to go regularly for health to the Salt Cave in Bexley Heath, which is an hour. Again, there's no transport no way she could get there.
And well, that's one of the drawbacks with public transport, isn't it? You can't go everywhere from everywhere. Mm. I mean, and there's no way you could, because it's just not viable.
Mm.
But, cool. Jackie, thank you for that. Thank you for giving us an update on all of those things. There's lots of schemes happening around the county. So if you want to find out more about any of those schemes, I suggest you go to the KCC website. We have put a link directly to those pages on the Kent Business Radio website. But if you just go to kcc.gov, I guess, you can navigate your way through. But the direct links are on. Or you can actually follow these guys on the Twitter. And if I remember off the top of my head,
at KentCC_business.
Thank
you. You said that so well.
I see, I even impersonated you while I said that, didn't
at
I?
At Kent.
The listener thought that was, they just thought, wow.
Yeah.
He sounded just like Jules when he did that.
At KentCC_business.
Fabulous. Jackie, thank you so much for that. It's an absolute pleasure to see you here on Business Bunker again. And we're going to be talking to some of the recipients of some of these in a future programme on the 8th of April. We're going to be talking to Kent Auto Panels and other people about these. So, you know, we will keep everybody informed, because they're fascinating things. Thank you very much for joining us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Thank you, Paul.
Very interesting.
Mm.
And it's great to think that there is hope and help out there for SMEs in Kent?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've met loads of businesses that have taken advantage of this now and are very excited about the kind of things they're doing and the kind of growth that they can start to experience, because it's important. It's important for us to grow the economy of Kent. I mean, Kent has 61,000 small businesses. We have more small businesses in this county than any other county in the United Kingdom, because now we are the biggest county in the United Kingdom since they split up Yorkshire.
They split up Yorkshire?
Yeah, here they did, Duck.
Tetley.
The left clog and the right clog don't know what they're doing.
Going up to Bath at Jar.
Whip it to North. Yeah, anyway, enough of that. We have 61,000 small businesses and growing and growing and growing, and that's fabulous. And that's fabulous news.
That's all the ones we know about, because there's lots that are sort of undercover, like cleaners and gardeners, as Jackie
highlighted. There are lots, you know, there are lots of micro businesses and very small businesses that are under the radar. You just don't become aware of them because they are just so tiny. They are effectively one person businesses. And they are so tiny they don't register on any of the official statistics or anything like that, because they're just too new and starting off. But they are the future. That, you know, we are very much heading towards small is beautiful. I don't know if you saw, and I'm not going to get into the politics of this because I'm having a bit of a row with a certain city council.
Oh, yeah, again.
That narrows it down to two, doesn't it? about this. But at the moment, independent retail shops are opening at the rate of 44 a day.
Right.
In the UK, 44 a day, independent retail shops. So a lot of the fear of the high street collapse has started to avert itself as more independent shops are opening. Mm. And we had many, many programmes about this back last year when we looked at this whole high street retail thing.
The whole Mary Porter's thing.
And all of us came to the conclusion, if you look around Kent, there are certain places like Whitstable and Tunbridge Wells and Tenterton and Canterbury that have very high retail output. And they are still very popular. And the one thing they all had in common is they had more independent shops than multiples. And that's the future. Mm. And it's already started to come through in the figures. There are now 44 a day independent, small, one-off shops.
Well, even if we look at the lovely Binny Amin, who's in Budgeons in Whitstable High Street.
That's your phone.
The Serenity phoning.
Beck, leave her alone. She's on air. Go away.
I need to do my manicure for the Kent Women Business.
Microdermabrasion. She needs Beck. Get onto it.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
but look at my skin. It's weird. But anyway, Binny Amin, as I said before, Serenity rang me. He's bucking the trend because he's got his Budgeons and his Londis franchises, but he's having them as if they're little independent shops. And I love it. He's got Kent Fine Foods in there. He's got S&D Chocolates in there. He's got Must Up Ketchup in there. Or rather, I got those three in because I was doing their PR. But, you know,
That's a little plug for Press Up Group there, folks. That's Press Up Group, the PR agency that gets your ketchup in shops.
Exactly. But the fact is, the DFLs can come down to Whitstable.
Yeah.
And buy, you know what a DFL is, don't you? Down from London, can come in and buy Kentish products in a Budgeons.
Absolutely.
Which is fantastic.
I mean, that is a lot of the drive behind what's going on here with independent shops and why independent retailers are working. Because most of them, if they're sensible, are specialising in local produce. And local produce, since the big Tesco's horse meat scandal of whenever it was, last year or whatever, the whole of that thing has opened people's eyes to using locally sourced, organic, free range, eco-friendly.
Why the long face?
Yeah, yeah.
And all those jokes that came out.
But you know that suddenly woke people up to looking at what they were consuming and what they were buying.
Nay.
It was bad enough the first time we did all these jokes, but to dust them all off.
The other thing that, while we're just ranting about this, or you are, is that I went to Canterbury, yes, and I wanted to do quite a few things. I don't often get time to go much in the week. And I stopped off at one person and stopped off another. And I had to keep putting my parking in Ringo. And by the time I'd done 3 hours or something, it was like I'd got to over £6. I'd done, you know, probably 4 hours I was. And it made me rush home. I thought, I'm not going to do another. And I wanted to look round. But because of the parking, I just went home. and didn't put any more money in.
I'm not saying anything about that.
I went to Westwood Cross,
I've wasted so much of my life talking to certain city councils about their parking strategies. I am just not going to waste any more time.
That is the only thing that is going to cause a problem.
Yeah, and we know that. And Portus identified that as part of her look at the
High Street. What will they ever do about it, though?
Who knows? Anyway, enough of that. We've had a tweet from Lisa Jane, and she says, "Do you need a bit of help with your Twitter? Or even a lot of help with your Twitter. We make your sales using Twitter, and you can follow her on the Twitter at Miss LJ Davies, D-A-V-I-E-S, Miss LJ Davies. We've also had the obligatory weekly tweet from Lee at Ancorians Football Club, and he's always welcome, and he's listening in today.
Now, he says, great show.
Yeah.
And he also says, Ancorians Football Club in Gillingham run girls' sessions on Thursday night. Did you know that?
I did.
And you can go on to ancoriansfc.co.uk.
I did know that, actually, because they run 20 teams. They're a community football club, and they also run disabled teams and special education need teams, and they run adult teams, and they run youth teams. And they still haven't got a sponsor for their blow-up marigold glove.
Oh, not that.
Yeah.
Now, would you say, come on, you girls?
Come on, you girls. Come on, you marigolds.
Come on, you gills, girls.
I ought to, for those listeners that aren't in tune with this piece of silliness, I made a mistake when Lee first tweeted into the show. They asked us to appeal for a business to sponsor their club mascot. And they sent me a photograph of the club mascot. And I thought it was a marigold glove that had been blown up, but apparently it's Sammy the Starfish, as anyone would know.
Why would anyone blow up a marigold glove?
It just looked like a marigold glove.
But it was the Starfish.
But he's in fact Sammy the Starfish. And Sammy is still sponsorless, and we really do need a sponsor for Sammy, because...
we do.
Poor old Sammy's got issues now.
And Gallen's Employment are saying, I'm struggling to eat lunch whilst listening to Jules's hand gel stories.
I'm not surprised.
Sorry
and
that, about
and
that.
And that's a lawyer. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Uh-huh. And also Seven Oaks Chamber have said, join us on the 2nd of April, Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. at Seven Oaks Town Council offices, Bradbourne Vale Road, T for Tiger, N for Norman, 133GG QG, Quebec Jills.
She makes these up when he's going.
Guest speaker.
Queenie Goble.
I said Quebec, that's the correct one. The guest speaker is Don Baker, Aspirations for Life.
Oh, fabulous.
So there you go. He's an ex-Midlands rugby referee and sportsman. I do like a rugger man.
Yeah. That will be good, so get along to that.
Do you like a rugby man?
Not particularly, no. Piece of information, the national minimum wage increase have been approved by the Department of BIS, the Business Information Skills Council, or whatever they're called, BIS, I can't remember what it stands for even. It's a business department anyway. Vince Cable's mob. Changes to national minimum wage rates have been approved by the Department for Business following recommendations by the Low Pay Commission. From the 1st of October 2014, the hourly national minimum wage rate for employees aged 21 and over will increase by 19p to £6.50. The rate for 18 to 20-year-olds will increase by 10p to £5.13. And for 16 to 70-year-olds, the rate will rise by 7p to £3.79. And the rate for apprentices will increase by 5p to £2.73. The LPC, that's the Low Pay Commission, said it expected that these increases would be manageable for employers. I'm sure they will. So do bear that in mind as of this October, that your national minimum wage rates are going up. While we're talking about apprentices, I've been doing quite a lot of stuff with apprenticeships and talking to wannabe apprentices. It's taken a long while for the smaller employers to get on board with apprenticeships, but it's finally happened. In the last 18 months, we've created 500,000 new apprenticeships, and SMEs are now starting to really embrace the whole apprenticeship culture. It's taken a bit of time to get there, but these things do. It was getting the word out and getting people to understand what they got. And I do understand, if I remember rightly, that in the budget, they extended the time available for getting your funding support. What happens is, with under 18-year-olds, you get 100% of the training budget refunded, plus you get a cash payment of 1,500 quid towards employment costs. That was due to end sometime in the next year or so. They have now extended that for another 3 years, I think. So there is money available if, should you wish to take on an apprentice.
We took one of those on.
Did you?
We're still with us 15 years later.
Really?
Yeah.
Fabulous. You can't say better than that, really, can you?
That's Simon talking here, listener.
And we thought it was you, Jules. Tell us a little bit about that, Simon. We're going to come to you about your bit in a minute, but tell us a bit about your apprentice.
Well, when they launched what was then the modern apprentice scheme 15 years ago, we took on a school leaver, Susan, who may be listening in the office right now.
Hi, Susan.
And we were working, my wife and I, from home in Wye, and she joined us at home. She showed up for interview in this very strange house in the country, driven by her father, very sensible man. Mm-hmm. No idea what we were going to be like.
Yeah.
She interviewed extremely well. She started with us, first job out of school, and she stayed with us for 10 years. The end of 10 years, having been her only job from the age of 18, it was probably time for her to move on and spread her wings a little bit.
Mm.
And she did 4 or 5 years working for the opposition. We won't say who. And a couple of years ago, she came back.
Fabulous.
And so she's done a long time for us. Very valuable investment. We're very pleased.
You can't say far enough.
What a great story.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that, Simon. That was
well,
very
you're
good.
Very welcome. You're
I
very
hope
welcome.
I haven't put Susan off her lunch with hopefully genital
not.
Gel story. Mm.
That might have put her off her lunch.
Yeah.
Though. Yes.
That is a great story, though.
Yes, it is. Excellent. I'm going to do another tweet. You're going to do another email. We're going to play another record. Then we're going to talk to Simon properly. We had a tweet from Wib West Kent. That will be Women in Business then, won't it?
Yeah.
Wib West Kent on the Twitter. Said there's a speed networking event this Thursday at the Royal Wells Hotel. That's the 27th of March. It's looking busy, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, and there's still a little bit of room there. So if you want to get along to a Women in Business, sounds promising, speed networking event this Thursday at the Royal Wells Hotel, do so. And you can find out about that by following them on the Twitter at Wib West Kent. W-Y-B, West Kent, all one word, on the Twitter.
Now, there's a competition for Business Bunker listeners. Would you like to win a complimentary family ticket to the historic dockyard at Chatham? Dockyard at Chatham. Yes, we would, we hear you say. Well, this ticket covers 2 adults and 2 children, or 1 adult and 3 children. And the voucher is to be used before the 1st of June and not in conjunction with special events at the dockyard. And the competition is not open to members of GDS Productions, and it will run until the 28th of March. What's the date today, Paul Andrews?
25th of March.
Okay, so you've got a couple of days to get this done. You need to go onto the GDS Productions page and like that, and then you must also share the competition on their timeline, and you can email gdscompetitions@gmail.com with your answer, and the winner will be chosen on the 28th and will be announced on the Facebook page. So the question is, are you ready, listener? Get your pen. Which part does Michael Ball play in Hairspray the musical? It is quoted as the role of his life. So there you are, that's a competition, and you've only got 3 days really to get that in. So go onto their Facebook and find out.
Fabulous. Thank you.
Good luck.
Talking about women in business, I've just had a tweet from Sian Murphy.
Oh.
And she says, can you warn the world that the Women in Business radio show launches on Channel Radio, this very radio station, next Thursday at 11 a.m.
Wow.
So coming next Thursday on channelradio.co.uk, we have the Women in Business show presented by Sian Murphy. So, and the launch is next week, next Thursday.
Excellent.
So do listen in, all you business ladies out there, and there are a lot of you.
And I'm sure lots of businessmen will listen.
I'm sure they will too. But Women in Business will be launching on Channel Radio next Thursday at 11 a.m. So tune in and have a listen. I'm going to do one more email, play a record, and then we're going to talk to Simon.
Record?
Yeah.
What century are you living in?
It's
an 8-track.
I spent last night looking at vinyl.
Spinning.
Clocks. I spent last night looking at vinyl clocks, didn't I?
Of course.
Yeah.
You'll be saying Hit Parade next.
And what's wrong with a Hit Parade?
Exactly. It's your age.
Go on. Actually do have an 8-track as well.
Yeah, I bet. That goes round and round.
Yeah.
They're lovely.
I have a mini disc right behind me as well in this very setup.
But I have to tell you,
Jamie, through the post the other night, we get loads and loads of songs from unsigned artists
to
play.
This is for New Potatoes, listener.
For New Potatoes show. In post last week, we got a cassette.
Really? Did you get a Cortina with it?
Yeah, no, we just all looked at it. I mean, what are we going to do with that? We haven't got a cassette player, but anyway. And then somebody said, what is it? At which point we all walked away and went, oh, God, I hate kids.
Now, did it come with a full Cortina?
No, it should have done.
Corsair, yeah.
Canterbury College, working with local businesses. Paul, please could you let forward-thinking local businesses know that we would like to work with our higher education students. Could you come into the college and give talks on what you do in your industry? Could you offer site visits and work placements? The Higher Education Department at Canterbury College is helping students gain essential employability skills by working with local businesses. The college is forging links with local employers to provide students with projects, internships and work placements as part of their course. Students are studying marketing, finance, law and human resource management or health and social care, social policy and the health industry. They've also learned about mechanical and electrical engineering, construction, the built environment, public services, animal science and conservation. Work placements are essential for students to convert the theory that they have learned in the classroom into the employability skills which are essential to industry. Do you think you could help? If so, contact Linda Marsh at l.marsh@canterburycollege.ac.uk. That's l.marsh@canterburycollege.ac.uk to find out how you can make a real difference to the future of young people in industry. I highly recommend you do that. It is incredibly good fun. So many employers moan about the employability skills of our young people. Well, how on earth are they going to do anything about it unless you help them? If you don't tell them what you want, they aren't ever going to know.
Quite right.
This is a dual thing. It's symbiotic. If you're not getting what you want, you need to go into the schools and colleges and tell them what you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not rocket science, and it's absolutely good fun. I do lots of these. I don't do them at Canterbury College, I have to say, but I've done them at most other colleges around Kent. Oh, well, I have done them at Canterbury College in the past, and they're incredibly good fun. The students are always up for what they're hearing. They enjoy hearing about it. And it's as Linda says in her email here, they respond to the real world. You know, classroom learning's great up to a point, but it's the real world that they really want. So do get involved in that. We will put the links to that on the Kent Business Radio website.
Lovely Joe Dodds, the famous Joe Dodds, is listening
Hello,
in today.
Joe.
Yeah, listening in. Probably with little Doddsy.
Yeah.
Serving her tea and cakes.
Do you know what we're going to do now, though?
Tunage.
We're going to have a bit of tunage.
What you got?
A bit of Beatles.
Oh, lovely. Nice bit of John Lennon.
Bit of Day Tripper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're going to talk to our guests.
Huh? I fancy a day trip.
Do you?
Bit of rock.
Yeah.
A few seagulls.
Bag of Winkles.
It took me so long to find out. Need temporary employment? Call Temp Network on 01892 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Jobsinkent.com.
Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker.
Welcome back to The Business Bunker Show on this Tuesday, the 25th of March. And today's show is sponsored by Telcare Limited. Who are listening in. And Telcare are the sponsors of today's show. They are a telecommunications provider based on the Medway City Estate over there in Rochester. And they also are the lovely, lovely, gorgeous people that supply all the telecommunications that make this radio station work as well as it does. So a big thank you to them.
And they're saying that they're in total agreement about supporting local.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Lisa from Telcare does lots and lots of work with young people on, and they take on apprentices all the time there too. So that is fabulous. Do you know we've got 68 tweets outstanding at the moment.
Hugely busy on the Twitter.
Which I haven't read. I've got a dozen emails.
I've
and we've
got
a guest to talk to.
Yeah.
So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the first time, Mr. Simon Webster of Facts and Figures.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the Business Bunker, Simon. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you and a bit about the business that you're in, and then we'll go from there.
All right. Well, my wife and I set up Facts and Figures 20 years ago.
Right.
I did a 10-year apprenticeship before that with a life insurance company.
All right.
We're independent financial advisors. We're now based in Ashford Town Centre and London.
Right.
And we'll come on to that perhaps a bit later. We originally set the business up from our home in Wye. We were there 15 years.
Why?
With the lovely Susan. Why? Because it was lovely.
All right.
And we worked there. And then we moved into the town centre 3 years ago.
Right.
And business has been growing. When we went to Ashford, we had 6 people in the business. We've now got 11. And we're looking to grow a bit further.
Fabulous. So give us a feel for what you do, and then we'll talk about how you do it, and we'll talk about some other stuff that we need to talk about, because we got hold of you when you came in, didn't we? Jules and I, we both went, we need to talk to you.
Yeah.
We've got loads of things we want to talk to you about.
Yeah,
well, we get a lot of that. But the reality is our fundamental job is to help people make smart decisions about their money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't matter whether they're a business or a private individual, but we can help.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing the job 30 years. My wife has been doing it almost as long, but not as long as that. And
being as she started very, very young.
Very, very young, yes. Yeah. We snatched her from the cradle.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of private clients, private individuals. They typically invest between £50,000 and £150,000, and we help them try and get the best out of that. We run a lot of employee benefit schemes for various employers in Kent and indeed nationally. Auto enrolment is coming up. That may be a subject we get back to later on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting to get lots of calls about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to focus people's minds that they've got a staging date coming up soon, and they have to do something,
sure.
Otherwise there's big fines.
Yeah.
We do mortgages, we do life insurance, we do equity release, we help people when they've got a divorce, and we've got to share their pension. We have one of those come in this morning. It's been running for about 9 months. So basically speaking, if it's money and it moves, we end up getting involved somewhere on the line.
Fabulous. It's one of those things, isn't it, that a lot of people don't really understand. You know, you see the term IFA, and you know that there's some licenses involved somewhere down the line. And then a lot of people kind of glaze over and go, I don't know what all that's about. And they're just going to flog me insurance anyway.
Yes, and we don't do very much of that these days, funnily enough. I mean, in point of fact, there's been a sort of lobby from what we would usually call the banking end of the market to try and confuse people about the status of financial advisors. It's been going on for years and years and years. And an independent financial advisor should offer whole of market, impartial advice across the whole range of investment products and solutions that there are out there.
Mm.
Now, there are really two types of advisor, those that are independent and those that are restricted.
Mm.
And I would suggest, and I'm biased, but I would suggest that you're really better off talking to an independent financial advisor, because they're going to be on your side.
Absolutely. And just for completeness, the restricted ones tend to work for organisations who only sell their own products?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them work with a panel of providers, but it's not the whole market.
Yeah.
But most of them are pushing their own particular products or their own particular solutions.
Mm.
And a lot of them are very good solutions, and a lot of them have very good advisors, but they are to some degree coming to the party with one hand tied behind their back.
Okay, cool. So we had a budget recently, and there was a lot of pension stuff in that budget.
Wasn't there just?
Yeah.
Wasn't there just? Yes, and if you look at my budget forecast that we put out, we did actually mention some of it might happen, but right. There's been leaks about changes to pensions legislation before every budget for the 30 years I've been in the business.
Yeah.
And it's only happened two or three times, and the one time Gordon Brown raped every pension fund in the country, nobody saw that one coming.
Yeah.
And then, again, Osborne coming out and doing what he's done with drawdown rules, which we'll, again, come on to later, took everybody a little bit by surprise, but it's a huge piece of flexibility being introduced to the market, gives people a lot of opportunities.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's worth kind of exploring some of those things because, as you said, it actually did take everybody by surprise, including the professionals that work in the marketplace, and they went, whoa.
Yes.
And then, politically, everybody had to find a reason not to like it to start with, but they could kind of backtracked out of that fairly quickly. And we got this ridiculous thing for a couple of days of people saying, you can't do that. People will spend their own money.
Well, the idea they go out and buy a Lamborghini as soon as they retire.
Yeah, and who would do that? They're horrible. Ferraris are much better. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, yeah.
Well, effectively, the situation was that for most people, when they got to retirement, they had to buy an annuity.
Yep.
Now, over the last 15 years, annuity rates had halved. Yep. So if you were retiring in the early 80s and you had a £100,000 pension pot, you could reasonably expect to get a pension income of about £12,000 a year.
Yep.
And then over the successive years, annuity rates are linked to gilts. Gilt rates have fallen dramatically for various economic reasons, which most people are aware of. And you now have the situation where at 65, the annuity rate is typically just under 6%. Right. And that's for a single life annuity. Mm. So as soon as you start building in widows' pensions and other benefits, the annuity rate falls even further.
Yep.
So now somebody with a £100,000 pension pot is looking at getting an income of under £6,000 a year. So just by accident of birth, retiring 10, 15 years later, you're looking at half the pension, having made the same sensible decisions to save in advance.
Mm.
So there have been calls about it being unfair, about companies profiteering, and goodness knows what else. But effectively, it's the law, and annuities are linked to gilts, and there's nothing much you can do about it. So there's always been the argument, maybe it was time to break the link between retirement and annuities and find different ways of doing it.
Absolutely, because just for those that don't know, there comes a point where you have to take the annuity.
Yes, you do. Mm. I mean, when you need an income, you've got to take the annuity. That's effectively what it comes down to.
Yeah.
For people that have larger pots, typically over £100,000, they introduced pension income drawdown a few years ago, which brought a lot more flexibility into the market for higher earners and gave them the opportunity to effectively live off the investment income from their pension fund. There are all sorts of complicated rules sitting around it, and it's those that Osborne hit in the budget. Still subject to approval and ratification. We wait to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But he's made that a lot more flexible and a lot more interesting potentially for people. And it also means that those with smaller pots could get into the party and have that flexibility. Because the big thing that really annoys people more than anything else is that they get to retirement, they buy a pension income of their £5,000 or £6,000 a year from their £100,000 pot, and they die after 2 or 3 years, having only had £15,000 or £20,000 out of their £100,000 pot. The insurance company keeps the money as a windfall profit.
Mm.
And people say, well, that's not fair, it's my money and I ought to be able to pass it on to my family.
Mm.
Well, you can if you take a lower initial income and provide a widow's pension, but if you both die, then the children are robbed of any money. Now, it's all about death and not very exciting stuff, and it's not the sort of thing you want to think about at lunchtime. But the reality is people have got to make complicated financial decisions when they get to retirement, and the annuity is all too often the only option for many people.
People do choke on their sandwiches, you know, at lunchtime.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I'd opt for death in a Lamborghini crash myself.
Well, I think it's one of two people the same way.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I think I'd be going for the Ferrari as well. The only Lambos I've seen have been yellow, and I don't like
that. Oh, they're horrible,
cars.
Aren't they?
No,
absolutely. I'm with you on that, Simon.
Yellow.
Yeah, horrible. So that's you, Mr. Oliver, that we're talking about.
Didn't he write his off, though?
He did smash one corner of it, yeah.
Oh, just a corner, that's
right. Sorry.
But if we go back to the pension arena, the interesting thing now is that because people have got so many more options when they get to retirement, they're going to need more advice.
Mm.
And in fact, one of the things that Mr. Osborne announced was they were going to put a staggering £20 million, which won't go very far, into providing advice for people when they get to retirement. But the reality is a lot of people are going to have to talk to people like me to try and make the most of their options, because there are real issues about real money, and it's going to have a profound impact impact on people's quality of life in retirement.
Yeah.
Most people want more money in the first 5 or 10 years of retirement when they're more active,
yeah,
and possibly less money as they start to slow down a bit and spend less time on the golf course and more time watching the telly.
Yeah.
So that's a lot cheaper. But when you've just retired, I had a couple in only this morning, people I've known for a long, long time. And she was saying, well, I've been working hard all my life. I've been being careful all my life. I want to live a little bit. Yeah. I want to have a holiday. I want to go on a cruise. I want to do some of these things. Yeah. And he was saying, we might run out of money.
Yeah.
And so a large part of our job is to actually try and help people make sure that in retirement they will not run out of money. And we have a lovely piece of financial planning software to help them do just that.
Absolutely. Because it's interesting, though, because there's been a lot of talk about pensions and the fact that pensions are tax-free, which, of course, they're not. It's just deferred taxation.
Well, you get tax relief on the contributions, which remains their single greatest attribute. So, I mean, if you put £100 into a pension, you'd immediately get £20 worth of extra tax relief. And if you're a higher rate taxpayer, you get even more. So, effectively, you get £66.70 worth of tax relief. So, day one, £100 for a higher rate taxpayer becomes £167. That is a huge, huge return when you compare it to the sort of 2 or 3% you can get for cash. So, there's a lot of very good reasons for business people and higher rate taxpayers in particular to run their money through a pension plan, particularly if they get the company to make the contribution.
Absolutely. But we mustn't lose sight of the fact that when you draw it out, you have to pay tax.
You have to pay tax on 75% of it, but 25% of it comes out totally tax-free.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're clever, you can time when you take your pension money out so that you take it out when you're only a basic rate taxpayer. And with a £10,000 annual income allowance that's now tax-free, personal allowance, you get a lot of scope.
Happens. One of the benefits of doing this radio show and talking to interesting people like you is we get to blag free advice. So now what I wanted to ask you about is some of the other changes are with ISAs and cash ISAs.
They've effectively said they're going to put the limit up to £15,000. It's now going to be a NISA rather than an ISA, so the NISA is nicer than an ISA. That's going to come in June, July time next year. So you still put your basic £11,500 in on the 6th of April 2014 for the next tax year, and then you can top it up again when the legislation has gone through later in the year.
Right.
So that's a huge opportunity. There was rumour that they were going to actually put a cap, a lifetime cap, on how much money could be amassed, because rich people who've got a lot of money have made full use of all the ISA allowance that they've had, and then a lot of them were making full use of all the PEP allowance they had before then. You know, those of us that are old enough to remember PEPs, personal equity plans, which became ISAs. So that there are people that got over £500,000 earning interest, growing totally tax-free, and that's a very attractive proposition. So they wanted to think about putting a cap on it to try and make it not so attractive for wealthy people who perhaps ought to pay more tax, but they didn't do it. So a lot of us were very pleased about that.
Cool. I mean, it is a minefield, though, because you don't know. I mean, my parents are in their 80s, and they really don't know how long they're going to live. And it could be they'll live to be 109. I mean, my mum's granny lived to be 106. And so it's about the way that the cost of living's gone up. I know that they are now sort of scaling down because they're frightened, or certainly my mum now is frightened of running out of money, even though they've got a lovely house, and it's all in the house, which is quite common with that generation, I think.
It is, and there's a lot of people in that situation, and it is interesting that the unspoken question for 90% of the people that come into our office is, am I going to run out of money?
Mm.
Will my money last to do kids' education, to do university, to last out my retirement, to pay for my long-term care fees, to make sure that my family is going to be all right in certain situations. And I sort of nodded to the financial planning software that we run, but it's incredibly helpful to actually map your financial life out on a series of assumptions. It's a glorified spreadsheet, but it's very, very complicated. But it produces a nice, straightforward graph, and all the time it's blue, you're happy. If it goes red, you run out of money. So you can then start playing with the assumptions about how much you save, how much you earn, when you're going to stop working, how much tax-free cash you're going to take out of your pension, all the scenarios that you can think of, and then you can actually look to construct an orderly handover of your affairs to your children and try and mitigate some inheritance tax. For older people who are sitting on sitting on valuable properties, there's always the equity release option. Now, in the 80s, when those first came out, it was a fledgling industry. Nobody really knew what they were doing, and there were all sorts of disasters.
It had such bad press.
It had an appalling press. I remember working for an insurance company at the time, laughing at the disasters that a lot of independent financial advisors had playing with these things. They bought the industry to heel a few years ago and launched something called the Safe Home Income Plan Group, which effectively said, you will never lose your house, your debt will never be more than your property, you will not be handing on a debt to your children. That's been replaced or superseded by the Equity Release Council now, but the same basic rules apply. So if you've got people in their 80s and 90s and they're worried about not having enough money to eat and they're sitting in a £500,000 house, they could borrow 50, 100, 200,000. They could, broadly speaking, borrow 25 to 35% of the value of the house, depending on their age. And that could put a large lump of money in their bank account, or they could take it out as an income with one or two lenders.
Right.
Now, the interest just rolls up, effectively like an overdraft, and is paid off when the property is no longer required, either because the people occupying it have gone into care or because they pop their clogs.
Right.
But either way, it does the job. Mm. Now, when we do it, we try and involve the children so they know what's going on, because it's some of their inheritance that's being whittled away. But I have never yet had a child that said, no, don't do that, you're going to spend my inheritance. They all say, mum and dad, have a life, take some money out of your property,
absolutely.
Live a bit, you've been looked after us all your life, now enjoy yourselves, take some money out of your property and make sure that you've got the standard of life that you really want to have. I've never had it any other way, but it's because we involve people at all stages of the process so they can see exactly what's going on. But it's actually an increasingly common thing to do, and because there are these safeguards built in, people don't need to be so worried about it anymore.
Fabulous. We're fast running out of time, Simon. Sorry. I just want to touch briefly on auto-enrolment. Just give us an overview of that.
Well, there's a real problem in the UK, which is people do not have enough money in their retirement. Mm. They thought they got it licked when they introduced stakeholder pensions in 2000, 2002, and every single employer with more than five employees had to provide this pension. But they didn't have to put any money in. So the net result was 95% plus of all the stakeholder pensions ever invented don't have any money in them, even to this date. So they've now followed the Australian model with auto-enrolment, and what they're saying is that ultimately every employer is going to have to put 3% of their staff's salary into a pension. Employees are going to have to put 4% of their salary into a pension, and the government will contribute 1% in tax relief effectively as they do at the moment. Now, it's a lot more complicated than that because they've got an initial band of £5,600, give or take, that you don't have to make a pension contribution on, and they've got a hurdle of about £9,500 to get over before you have to start making a contribution, and it's only on earnings up to give or take £41,500 that you have to make a pension contribution on it. But the key point is every single employer who has any staff at all will have to do this, and it is not optional, and there are fines for not doing it, and they will have to put money in. And if they take any action that encourages staff to opt out in any way, big fines. So it's a huge sledgehammer. The interesting bit is that when this first came out, those of us in the industry were a little bit jaundiced, thought, not really going to work this. We don't think this is 40% of the people that are opted in will opt out. And in point of fact, the take-up rate's been in excess of 78%.
Right. Okay.
So in fact, largely through apathy, and because there's some appetite there, people are joining these pension schemes, they're making the contributions, they're joining in. The good news is the cost is being phased in over a period. So initially, employer and employee are putting in 1% each. Then it goes up a little bit until it hits the 3% band. Well after the general election. Funny that.
They
moved the dates when they worked out how that was going to happen. Yeah. But the reality is it is happening. It is a big deal. All the larger companies, the mega employers, were playing from October 2012. And the staging dates for the large employees came in through 2013. Smaller companies won't have to play till 2015, 2016, 2017. But the lead time to get organised is the thick end of a year, because it is relatively complicated working out which staff have to be auto-enrolled. Of course, nothing is straightforward, so they've got entitled workers, they've got non-entitled workers, and it just makes it a nightmare. And most of the insurance companies will not tell you now whether any existing pension you've got will be appropriate for auto-enrolment. It has to be deemed to be a qualifying workplace pension. And some insurance companies are still trying to decide whether they want to play or not. So there's huge, huge issues, and it requires a lot of thought and a lot of preparation. But again, take independent financial advice and you won't go too far wrong.
Fabulous. Simon, thank you for that. It's a topic we could talk about forever, but sadly we've run out of time. For the moment, thank you for joining us. Give us a shout for your website.
Website is www.fff.com. p.co.uk. Our budget site, we just bought a guru website, which I thought was funny at the time, which is ifa.guru. The only thing is, if it's a Mac device, it doesn't recognise the extension yet. So you've got to put in http://ifa.guru. And apparently, I've now got a Twitter account that is ifa_guru.
Yes, and we're
indeed, and we're all following you.
Oh, well, thank you very much indeed. I shall have to tweet something now.
Yeah, you will. But by the time this program's finished, you'll have doubled your Twitter followers anyway.
Thank you very much indeed. That'd be good.
Simon, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get you back at some point and talk some more about this, because there's loads of things to talk about, and it's been fascinating talking to you. But for the moment, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And stay with us for the last 5 or 10 minutes of the show.
Thank you very much.
Very interesting, that
absolutely
from Simon
Webster. There's loads of things that need to be talked about.
We need
about
another 10 programs.
We do indeed. I've had a tweet from Toastmasters, and on the Twitter there, Can Speak Out is their Twitter handle, and it says, learn how to present to group meetings this evening 7:30 at the Manor Barn, Canterbury.
So I believe they're going to be guests in the future on the Business Bunker.
They are indeed,
in May or something.
I've now got 72 tweets and 5 minutes to read them.
They sort of wake up, don't they? Kent Channel Chamber of Commerce have a chamber networking breakfast on Wednesday, 26th of March. That's manana, isn't it?
It is indeed.
7:30, it's at the in the morning, and it's at the Lodge Prince's Golf Club, which is in Sandwich Bay, Sandwich. And it's £15. You need to go contact Tracy on 01303 722 227, or have a look at the www.kentchannelchamber.co.uk website.
Cool. The Business Community Breakfast, they have a 20% price reduction on their breakfasts. Ooh. Now, the Business Community Breakfast is pleased to announce a 20% price reduction to just £10 for the next breakfast meeting, as from the April the 10th. The reduction has been brought about because the catering is now conducted in-house at Gillingham Golf Club, and the club has kindly passed on the consequent savings to our networking group. So that's nice. Our next speaker next month is Stuart Kenny from the Liquid Business Group, whose subject will be getting the best from your website. Stuart spoke to us last year and has been involved with many websites, including those of the Business Community Breakfast members. The Business Community Breakfast is held the second Thursday each month at Gillingham Golf Club between 7:30 a.m. and 9 a.m. and it now costs a paltry £10, which gives you a full English breakfast with vegetarian sausages available.
And poultry.
A poultry, yeah. People who turn up on the day will be made welcome, but will be charged £15.
I love that, be made welcome. Like they're going to say, no, you're not welcome.
Yeah, I know Stuart Kenny. His office address is the Stallion Box. I can't remember the rest of it, but it's actually in Charing.
I want to be there. I want to be there.
What a fantastic business address. The Stallion Box. Mm.
I feel that we shouldn't have mentioned that, because there are certain spoof Twitter accounts floating about that could use something like that.
I suspect Stuart's already got one.
Yeah. You can find out more about the Business Community Breakfast by going to their website, which is all the W's, businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk.
The Wealden Business Group have confidence and profits on the up. And this is about employment plans and business confidence. It's the vibrant and diverse set of business owner managers. And the group is about to launch its first Wealden Business Barometer, a regular survey among members of current business trends. So you need to check out this on www.wealden-business-group.co.uk. And they also have a Wealden Business Group Facebook page. And there is a Twitter feed, which is at WealdenBG. Sounds interesting. And also another thing going on here, venue, offering your business advice and support from law to plumbing, they say, or accountancy to building. Wealden Business Group is made up of 34 different professionals, all able to offer properly qualified help and advice to local business people. So you can contact the secretary, D. Bateman, on 07958612937. That sounds great. And the venue is at the Little Silver Country Hotel, Ashford Road, in Tenterden, just where Snake Hips lives, I believe.
Apparently. The Breakfast Friends and the Muesli Mafia have joined forces. That's handy. Come together in a full breakfast. On the 3rd of April, they have a breakfast with a speaker, and it's hosted by the Hever Golf Club. And you can find out all the details about that by going to sportingmorning.co.uk. That's sportingmorning.co.uk website, and find out all about the joint breakfast at the Hever Golf Course from Kent and Surrey Business Friends, Breakfast Friends, and the Muesli Mafia.
And the fabulous Rob at Go Vicinity Creatives just tuned into the Business Bunker, and he reminds us that the Business Over Breakfast Club is on tomorrow morning, Canterbury, at 6:45 a.m. Visitors welcome, and that's at Howfield Manor.
Great stuff. There's also a free business networking event at the Canterbury Business Tweet Up. And the next one is on the 2nd of April, which is not tomorrow, but the following Wednesday. And they provide a fantastic opportunity for all Kent businesses to network and promote. The Canterbury Tweet Up Business Networking, 2nd of April, 10 a.m. at the Miller's Arms, 2 Mill Lane, St. Radigan's, Canterbury. Anyone's allowed to go along. It's completely free of charge. And if you want to find out more, you can go to the website kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk and find out about that and all the other tweet-ups happening around and about the place.
You can also go on to, did you say kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk?
I did, indeed.
Well done. I was reading something. You can meet.
You weren't listening to me, were you?
No, I wasn't.
That happens all the time.
Hanging on your every word.
That's not right.
Meet an apprentice ambassador. This is on the 3rd of April, 4:30 to 7 in the evening. Maplestone Noakes School in Buckland Road, Maidstone. There's never been a better time to employ an apprentice, they say. And the Federation of Small Businesses and the National Apprenticeship Service, the NAS, are working together to host events around England entitled Making Apprenticeships Work for Small Businesses and Getting Young People Ready for Work. And this event on the Thursday, the 3rd of April, you can go on to 3ws.eventbrite.co.uk, meet an apprentice ambassador. I think we'll put that on the business, on the link of our Kent Business Radio.
Absolutely. Telcare Limited, our sponsors for today, have tweeted in and they said, our apprentice joined us aged 18 and he's still with us aged 36.
Aww.
Nice one.
Same as
that's
us.
Lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. It's all happening in Kent, isn't it? Yeah. Long-term apprenticeships.
Yeah. It just shows that they're treating their staff properly.
Absolutely. There's a football trivia quiz night taking place on Friday the 4th of April, which is also my dad's birthday.
Is it?
Happy birthday, Dad.
Victor.
At the World of Kent Golf Club. It's a charity quiz night, and it's being attended by two former professional footballers, Mr. Ron Harris, lovingly known as Chopper.
Chelsea.
Yeah. And Martin Chivers, the ex-Spurs in England player.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah.
Always reminds me of Marmalade.
Yeah. So, Ron Harris and Martin Chivers will be there. There's a three-course dinner, a quiz and an auction, and the compere is Jamie Reid, who is from the BBC and Five Live Football. Arrive at 6:45, 7:30 start. Ticket prices are £275 for a table of 10, or £29 for an individual ticket.
That's very good.
That includes a three-course meal and get your legs taken away from under you by Chopper.
Or a glass of wine.
Yeah. Call now to book your table at the World of Kent Golf Club on 01622 891 671. The charity chosen is Victor, which is VICTA for blind and partially blind children and Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So all in a good cause. Do get along to that if you can. We look forward to seeing you at the World of Kent on the 4th of April for the charity quiz night with Ron Harris and Martin Chivers.
Sounds good. There's workshops at the Kent Creative Live Workshop. I haven't got time to go into detail, but I will read out the website, 3ws.kentcreativelive.org. Workshops supported by Ideas Test and available to residents of Swale and Medway.
Cool. Robert Go Vicinity has objected to your statement that he's only just tuned in.
Oh.
He said, we've been listening for a while, actually.
He's very quiet.
We've been very quiet because we're busy developing four new websites.
Oh, yeah. Only four? What's that with you?
Yeah, come on, get on with it. Work harder.
Yeah,
come on, Rob, work harder.
Get Mike, have some more coffee.
Yeah. Anyway, we're fairly much at the end of the show now.
We are.
You just want
to chew your licorice stick, don't you?
I do. I want to get that twig in. Yeah. It just leaves me to say a massive thank you for our two guests today. Jackie Ward, Regional Growth Fund Programme Manager at Kent County Council. Simon Webster, Facts and Figures, IFA, and All Things Financial. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the Business Bunker Show. Thank you to everybody that listened in, tweeted, emailed, and all the rest of it. We appreciate that very much, and we love sharing our Tuesday afternoons with you. Coming up later on Channel Radio today, we have another full lineup of shows. At 3 o'clock, we have Kevin Cam with the Extra Milk Show. At 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with his afternoon show. There is a queue forming with his sexy socks and his sporting letter from America.
Is he in socks already?
Yeah, yeah.
Thought he was just in sandals.
Yeah, yeah. And then coming up at 9 o'clock, we have 18 tracks of awesomeness, new unsigned up-and-coming bands on the New Potato Show, delivered by Mr. Jamie Andrews. So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the day. Everything you've heard on the Business Bunker Show today, you can follow up by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk website, where there are links to everything that you've heard. Today's show is show number 165. It will be up to listen again very shortly after today's programme. Thank you to our sponsors, Telcare Limited, the telecommunications provider from over there in Medway City Estate, Rochester. We thank you very much. We will be back with you next week on the Business Bunker Show. But for the time being, it's goodbye from me and Jules.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land? I should have stayed on the phone. Should have listened to my own mind. You know you can't hold me forever. I didn't sign up.